Welcome to a special off-day edition of the Cross Conference Women's World Cup Daily. It's July 7th, and the tempers have settled. Today I was joined by Stacy of the Seminole women's soccer site, BeulahSports.com, to talk about the U.S. women's national team and this weekend's upcoming quarterfinals. Hi, this is Joan, and welcome back to a Women's World Cup Daily Recap. It is the 7th of July, 7-7, and I am here with the guest I am most excited about. This is Stacy from BeulahSports.com. Best women's national team recaps, description, whatever, analysis in the game. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here. And thanks for that very kind introduction.
I could have gone on, as I have before in the past. But now you're a national team, U.S. women's national team supporter, yes?
Correct.
Yes, but
For a very long time.
One-time WPS watcher.
Yes. I'm still a little bitter about the freedom, sneaking out of town in the middle of the night, but, you know, maybe I'll get over that one day.
Mm-hmm. Take your time.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about Sweden and USA all on the last show, Jenna Pell and I from All Elite Kit, but okay. I don't mind talking about it again because I really like your insight and still the emotions are there, you know?
Right.
The anger, the bitterness, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross needs to take me through. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And then we still have things to look forward to, but.
Definitely.
So tell me from your perspective, a couple things that went wrong.
From my perspective, and it's going to seem like I'm letting the defense off, but we need to keep in mind these defenders are who they are. And you look up and down that roster, and we simply don't have a lot of speed there. I agree with Tony DiCicco. I rarely do, but on this I do. Amy LaPelvet is a central defender. It's been ridiculous. She's been on the outside for even a minute of this World Cup. After the first game, it was obvious she wasn't comfortable out there. Move her inside. Buehler was playing on the outside right when Rampone got back from her maternity leave. Buehler was doing fine out there. The defense looked okay. We had slow speed, you know. So we had Buehler play next to Rampone, LaPelvet between Krieger and Rampone, and everything was working out very well. I'm not sure why this change was made, you know, on the eve of the World Cup. That's one thing. For me, the bigger issue, though, because they are capable of playing better, was our midfield. We were just awful up the middle. And, you know, I don't even know where to begin. I've never seen Shannon Box play like that. If she has a good game, even a good game, not a great one, that would have been a much different game than what we wound up seeing. Mm-hmm. I think Heather O'Reilly, we missed her a lot more than I think we thought we were going to. Megan Rapinoe, I love her energy. I love the way she runs all over the field. Her tactics, she doesn't always make the best choices with the ball. And that, to me, more than losing the speed on the right, just the tactical sophistication that we lost on the right and throughout our entire midfield, I think that killed us, especially in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, like, Megan Rapinoe is like my favorite player, and I say this in almost every episode.
Sure.
Because I picked her out in 2004. It was just kind of random, and I was like,
right.
You're my
right.
favorite now. Sorry. Like, it's unconditional. It's ugly, you know.
Right.
It's like, oh gosh, but I can be critical of her, and that was a rough game. I mean, it was a rough game all across the midfield. Everybody was kind of doing their own thing.
Right.
Like you said in your recap, everybody's trying to score their own goal. All of a sudden,
right.
we score a lot from the outside, and right. we think that's the only way we can score for some reason.
Yeah, a friend of mine made the point that Carly Lloyd hitting that shot against Colombia was probably the worst thing that could have happened for Team USA because she just wouldn't stop taking them yesterday, and it was bad. I seriously, you know, I was at home watching by myself. I was yelling at the TV every time she did it, and I was hoarse by the end of the day. I think what's frustrating and why I yell at the TV when she does that is because she's better than that, and the U.S. is better than that. And there were some times when she was wasting such good possession, because she panicked and took that shot rather than looking for the pass. You know, you talk a lot, especially back when Mia Hamm played, you talk about players who play with their head up. And their heads are on a swivel, and they always know where they are on the field. They always know where their teammates are. And I just felt yesterday that Carly Lloyd was not a player playing with her head up. And I think you can kind of say the same thing about Rapinoe as well. They just didn't know where everyone was, where they were. And at some point, I think they just felt they had to do something with it. So they put it somewhere towards the goal, and it was just sailing 20 yards over. And I think that was problematic. And I don't know that we have an on-field leader at this point who calms them down. I think Lindsay Tarpley, we really missed yesterday, too. Mm-hmm. It's the first time this tournament I looked and said, oh, I wish she was here. And it's not because of necessarily the skill she brings on the pitch, which is considerable, but it's the calm. She is the coolest, calmest customer out there, and she really would have just helped settle them down. I did think they came out and played a better second half, at least for about 20, 25 minutes. But they just looked a little like they lost their composure a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carly Lloyd and Shannon Box are not new
to
the center of the midfield. Why don't they have this composure? Like, what's going on here? Why isn't there... They've been around for years and played several baskets full of games.
Right.
Why haven't they stepped up?
Well, you know, being on the outside, we can only guess about these things. But with Lloyd, I think it's been throughout her career. She's been extremely inconsistent. I mean, we had about 3 years there where we kind of lost her a little bit. She's been back this year, and she's been playing very well. Part of me thinks that she really needs that engine player to be in the game for her. And we didn't have an engine player. You know, like back in the day, Julie Foudy and Allie Wagner used to take so much criticism because they weren't gaudy and in the box score anywhere. They were just out there. People are like, oh, they're not taking shots. They're not doing this. No, but they're running your offense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a lot of years, we haven't really had an engine player who plays all the time. Lori Lindsay comes in, and she serves that role very well. But Shannon Box has kind of been doing double duty as a defensive midfielder and setting offense for the U.S. She decides when to switch fields. She's you know, a big part of the link with the forwards and with the outside midfielders, and she's really been doing a lot of that. And what we're seeing is that if Heather O'Reilly's not in the field and Box is having a bad game, Carly Lloyd's not someone who can serve this role. It's just not the way she plays. I didn't expect it to break down quite as much as it did yesterday, but she's not a distributor. She's kind of more an end user, or she's the pass before the goal, not the pass before the goal kind of a player. And I think it just, it just went kind of wrong for yesterday. And again, I think we're making it sound worse than it was because really they were a PK away from getting their draw.
Right.
I think it all comes back to we know they can play better, and it's disappointing when they have a game like this because we have seen it so much different. Mm-hmm. Regarding Box, honestly, time catches up. I don't know what's going on there, but that was the most – her first half, anyway, was the most uncharacteristic 45 minutes I have ever seen her play. She wasn't playing physically. She wasn't stepping into passing lanes. She wasn't sitting on top of the defense. And providing support when they were absolutely getting killed up the center and up the left. She wasn't making good decisions, and she just physically wasn't there. To her credit, in the second half, I thought she came out and was playing much more aggressively. But that first half, I can't explain what was wrong with Box in the first half. Time, you know, that's the best I've got, is it's just been time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know one thing. She's got to play a heck of a lot better than that if they're going to have a chance on Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the USA plays Brazil Sunday afternoon for us.
Yes.
Do they need to make changes to beat Brazil? What do they need to do?
Well, first, again... what I just said, Box has got to play better, and Heather O'Reilly's got to get back on the field. We've got to defend much better through the midfield. Our defense, though, ultimately, it's going to wind up coming down to them. And I do think we need to make a change. I don't think that change is Stephanie Cox, because, frankly, she's just as slow as LaPelvet. And the last time she played Brazil in a World Cup, we lost 4-0, and they ran on her right up that left-hand side.
Right.
I think maybe, you know, if you're not going to put Buehler on the outside and LaPelvet back in the middle, then you need to make sure that Rampone is playing next to LaPelvet. What I do, and I think you can actually do it because I think Heather O'Reilly can handle it better than Rapinoe, is Krieger also needs to lean towards the middle of the field, and that midfielder is going to need to drop back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, ultimately, it comes down to box. And the example I give for this, really kind of involves the England-Japan game.
Mm-hmm.
The entire tournament, they've been talking about how the central defense for England, you can run on them because they're not terribly fast. And so starting with the first game, I was, you know, wondering, why don't they put Anita Asante in and let her sit on top of the defense? Against Japan, they put Anita Asante in. She sat on top of the defense, and that defense had no problems the entire game against the Japan side that we know plays very seamless, you know, on the ground, passing soccer, and they've got a lot of fast players. They're very small. They play, not really a similar style, but it is a ground game. It is a fast game against slower-footed defenders, and they handled it fine because the attack was getting stopped in the midfield. So for me, that's why my key is box, because we saw it with England against Japan. They put Asante in there. She could handle the speed. She reads the game well, and it was all the difference in the world for them. They made Japan look pedestrian, and we all know Japan is a very, very good team. So for me, it comes down to the defensive midfielder. We'll see her.
So on the flip side, what does Brazil need to do to beat the U.S.? I mean, as U.S. fans who are a little bit critical, we could make a very long or frankly, short list of what they need to do. But from your perspective, what does Brazil need to do?
From my perspective with Brazil, and you hate to be saying this in 2011, I put us a year forward, is that for them, it's all about composure. Again, this is another reason why I'd love for Lindsay Tarpley to be on the field, because she drives them nuts with how much she doesn't pay attention to their histrionics.
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to go into the game with, you know, the sole purpose of getting under Marta's skin. If you play her really physical, and again, you got to be able to catch up to her to play her physical. If you play her physical, if the ref gives her a couple of bad calls, you can completely take her out of what she's doing. From a more soccer perspective than an in-her-head perspective, our central defenders have got to come through. The double teams have got to be plentiful because we know exactly where they're going to attack. They're going to attack the U.S. left. So if we know they're going to attack the U.S. left, Christy Rampone, our speed in the center of the field, has got to be ready to help the pelvet every single time they touch the ball. We're going to have to play a more defensive game than we probably want to. But to handle that speed, if the speed is working, if the speed is having a good game, I think, you know, we've just got to be prepared to help our slower-footed defenders. And that, I think, is what wasn't happening against Sweden. I think they just weren't expecting Sweden to be quite as fast as they were. They really did seem surprised by that.
Mm.
And we can't be surprised by Brazil's speed or by their skill on the ball, because we know it. And we know it comes from several, you know, different players with them. But at the same time, if we're going to be helping on defense and if we're going to have everyone shove left, our forwards have got to stay high, our attacking midfielder has got to stay high, and we've got to be ready for quick counterattacks, and Box has got to be ready to distribute the ball. And honestly, we've got to stay out of the air a little bit, because we were in the air so much against Sweden. And that's just not – the U.S. just doesn't play that direct game anymore. That's not when they look the best.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the Sundhage, not during her regime anyway. They've just got to be ready for the speed, I think. And slower defenders can beat speed. They've just got to be ready for it, and they've got to be working together. They've got to keep their defensive shape. They've got to be highly organized. We have not seen a game like that yet. I don't know that this defense necessarily plays that way. But I think we're going to have to see at least, you know, a little bit of it against Brazil.
Now, Saturday's quarterfinals, England versus France. Who do you favor in that matchup?
You know, France has been one of the most entertaining teams at the tournament, but, you know, we all saw that backup goalkeeper, and I just don't think that they're going to be able to keep the ball out of the back of the net. I think England will come through. England has been consistently getting better with each match, and I'd be surprised if, with their backup keeper in there, I'd be surprised if England doesn't win that game. I do think, again, I think Asante needs to be in the starting lineup again because France is very fast and England's going to have a lot of trouble with that speed coming right up the middle at them if Asante's not in the game. But she played so well against Japan, I'd really be surprised if she's not in there again.
Germany versus Japan, I think most betting people would go for Germany, but do you give Japan any chance against them?
I give them a chance. I think most betting people are picking Germany to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, I give them a chance. I think Japan can be surprising at times. And this isn't, you know, the German defense of yore with Steffi Jones and Sandra Meinert, you know, where you had the best defenders in the world back there. If you can get through that midfield, which is not easy, but if you can, they're a little suspect. What we saw, I guess, in the France game, and I think the commentators during the telecast were pointing out, Germany's not great defending on set pieces, but unfortunately Japan is one of the few teams left in the tournament that can't that probably won't be able to capitalize on that. Not unless Miyama is going to go straight at goal with it. you've always got a chance. The U.S. is going to have an organized defense. I think Japan's going to have a really organized offense. I think England took them out of what they wanted to do, and I don't think they recovered from that. I think they're going to have to, be sure they do what they want to do against Germany, even if in the early going they're having a little bit of trouble. They can't give up on their game plan because they just look like a different team when, you know, they're not controlling possession through the midfield, which is going to be tough for them.
Now, the first quarterfinal, I don't think I'm going to personally wake up at 4:30 in the morning to watch Sweden versus Australia, but Australia has been so delightful this tournament to me.
They're a plucky little team.
Yeah, and so fun. And they seem so prepared to deal with so many different kinds of teams. Mm-hmm. They seem to know what to do, you know, even if they go a goal down.
Right.
I'm kind of thinking they're going to pull out this win, but I don't know. What do you, against Sweden, what do you think?
Well, Australia's just a team that has absolutely nothing to lose, and they're playing like it. And it's a lot of fun to watch. If Sweden plays the way they played against us, I think it could be a long afternoon for Australia. They still, though, you know, for all the trouble Sweden caused, they were still having trouble putting, you know, the ball on frame and, you know, actually making something out of the fact that they were completely destroying our defense. So, you know, Sweden can kill itself. If Australia, you know, is just patient, doesn't make the kind of mistakes the U.S. was making, they can play a good match. We'll see. Tom Stramoni's a very good coach, and he's got them really loose. I wouldn't be shocked if they won, but I would have to pick Sweden in that match. I just think, especially if they put Orquist in the starting lineup again, I just think it's too much speed for Australia's back line. Sweden is going to have to finish, though, and that's been tough. So we'll see.
Now, you said 2012 earlier again. I want to jump all the way to 2012 and ask you, what does the U.S. Olympic roster look like? What are the changes? What do you want to see?
What I want to see, I want to see tomorrow's starting defensive midfielder. I'm disappointed that, you know, she's not on the roster now, because obviously she's not. I want to see Christine Nair in there. They need to start grooming, especially in the U.S. program with defensive midfielders. They don't think far enough in advance. They don't start grooming them young enough. I remember back in the day when Michelle Akers was retiring, and, of course, she was actually a forward who they had to, you know, press into duty because we had no one else to play in the defensive midfield. They put all their eggs in Alicia Kramer's basket. Then Alicia Kramer says, I don't want to play soccer anymore. And so the U.S. was just, you know, in a tailspin until, you know, we had the WSA, and lo and behold, oh, look, there's a Shannon Box in the world. It was by accident, not by design, that we found our defensive midfielder. In the meantime, we saw the under 20, you know, Women's World Cup last year. We see, you know, two very special players up the center of the field for the U.S. in both Christine Lewis and Christine Nairn, and I think we have to start grooming them. They, for me anyhow, you know, for what that's worth, for me, they're the spine of the team in the future, and we need to start grooming them now, not after Box retires, not after, you know, Lori Lindsay's gone and we don't have her as a stopgap. They need to be groomed now.
Right,
and that's the big change I like to see. I'd also like to see some speed on the flanks, but I just don't see any in the pipeline. I just don't know where it's going to come from. But they need to start thinking about it.
Right. I think one of the, for me personally, one of the worst things that happened was when Megan Rapinoe got put on the left side. To me, she is the most Francesco Totti-like player that the women's side.
Sure.
Can see, and you wouldn't put Francesco Totti on the left or
right.
on the, you know, that's just so dumb. It breaks my heart to see that, like, Carly Lloyd, for, you know, her ups and downs, she could be okay, but like at no point was it ever said anybody can challenge for this spot. It was just
right.
like, we're just waiting for you to get better, Carly. And
right.
you know that I was yeah and I think it yeah. stunted her growth, Megan Rapinoe's growth, but by putting her on the left, saying just run around a lot, and then not having the mommy, the Lindsay Tarpley in there. I think Lindsay Tarpley was good for the Chicago Red Stars in terms of that
right.
rather immature midfield.
Sure. I agree with you completely on that. She's just, you know, she really is just one of the most, you know, soccer savvy, calm presences in the player pool right now. And I think they're really missing that. And I agree with you. I think a lot of the younger players who aren't that young anymore, they haven't had that as much. But we need to find a way, which is kind of the reason why I like to see Mewis and Nairn with the team now.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than once everyone who's there to teach them retires.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, this has been absolutely wonderful, Stacey. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, great. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, everybody. This is Joan. I would like to take a minute to thank all of you for listening. Thank you. If you have any thoughts about this show, suggestions, complaints, please send them to crossconference@gmail.com. If you like the show, tell a friend, rate us in iTunes, write on your interwebs, message boards, send out a toot, what have you. We really appreciate it.